الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام اتق المحارم تكن اعبد الناس او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الامي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected and honorable elders, my brothers, my young friends, and my mothers and sisters listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, has not only allowed us to reach the blessed days and nights of Ramadan, but we have spent 20 days in the blessed month of Ramadan, and here we are on the 21st day. In these 20 days, 21 days, alhamdulillah, we heard ulama speak, give beneficial advices, and alhamdulillah, each and every one of these advices were such that we can take home with us, we can implement it into our lives and have some benefit. But from the many advices that were shared, I would like to reiterate two principal themes of our deen. First and foremost, in this blessed month of Ramadan, through the barakah of the blessed days and nights of Ramadan, one thing we can achieve is that we attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intense and deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those individuals who have iman, they don't only engulf and envelope their hearts with the love of Allah, they are deep and intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. They have deep and intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should we attain that deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why does Allah demand from us that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because when the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters the heart, when it enters the heart, then everything falls into place. The entire deen falls into place. No one will need to tell you the prayer of salah. No one will need to tell you fast in the month of Ramadan. No one will need to tell us that we need to give our zakah. Why? The love will compel you to start praying salah. The love will compel you to start giving zakah. The love will compel you to start fasting in the month of Ramadan. The love will compel you to carry out the dues. The love will compel you to stay away from those acts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. When the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters the heart, then deen, it's not a formality anymore. That I have to do this, that's why I'm doing it. I don't have to do this, so let me leave it. I don't want to do something, so where can I find the excuse? Who can I go to that will help me get away from this? Where can I find a leeway in the Sharia over here? Marzi, teri har waqt jise peshe nazar hai, uski zubaan par na agar hai na magar hai. The Urdu poet, he says amazingly, that there's a difference between two types of relationships. One is a relationship based on muhabba and love, and one is a relationship based on formality. You have an individual, he's an employee and he has a boss. A relationship which is based on just formality. Then the boss says you have to carry out this task. He may not want to, but he will have to. Why? Because it's a relationship based on formality. I have to. If the boss doesn't say that he has to carry out a certain task, then even if someone is not carrying it out, he will leave it. Why? Because there's no love there. It's something based on formality. He wasn't told to do it, so he won't do it. This is a relationship based on formality. And then you have a relationship based on muhabba, love and ishq. Then it will be a whole different situation. You have two individuals that love each other. The child, it loves the father. The child loves the father. Now, even if the father doesn't say to carry out an action, the child will make sure he does everything in accordance to the pleasure of his father. Why? Because this relationship is based on love. He doesn't want to displease his father. He wants to please his father. In the same manner, he will stay away from everything that will displease his father, even if he doesn't tell him. Why? Because this is a relationship based on muhabba and love. He will look for every avenue and everything that he can do that will please his father, and he will stay away from everything that will displease his father. And there will be no cutting corners. Nah, I was told to do this, so I must do this. I was told to abstain, so I must abstain. No, he will know where to carry out what action and when to stay away from what action. Take this same concept and put this in the context of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have a relationship of formality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will need to be told that you must do this and you must stay away from this. If you do this, then you will attain Jannah. If you don't do this, then punishment awaits. And if it's a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on love and muhabba, now the entire concept changes. Now it becomes a matter of the pleasure and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not only look at permissible and impermissible. You will not only look at halal and haram. You will not only look at what is allowed and not allowed. Rather, you will now look at what is and what actions bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I abstain from what actions and these actions, then they will also bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I carry out those actions, then they will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings me to my second principal theme. And that is abstaining from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstaining from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstaining from sins. In the month of Ramadan, there is no better time than when we can stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best time to train ourselves to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now, in the month of Ramadan. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنَ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith, abstain and distance yourself. Fear the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Save yourselves from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Save yourselves from the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Save yourselves from vice and sin. What will be the result? تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ You will become the greatest worshipper. The greatest worship. Many a times we feel coming to the masjid, offering our salah, this is a great worship. This indeed is a great worship. Praying salah, reciting Quran, excessive nawafil, excessive sunan. Sometimes we take this to be ibadah only. This is also ibadah and something we should do. But we fail to realize that staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also an ibadah and a great ibadah. Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, great pious saint, he used to say ke Allah ki nafarmani se bachna ye bhi bahut bari ibadat hai. It's also a great ibadah. Not just worship, great worship. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning in the hadith that save yourselves from the disobedience of Allah and you will become the greatest worship. Not just a worshipper, not just an abid. Takun a'badan nas, the greatest worship. We can understand from an example, the ulama and the scholars, they give an amazing example to explain to us. They say, take for example, you have a utensil and a bowl. And you want to fill this utensil and bowl with pure milk. Pure milk. They say, if you have a hole in this utensil and this bowl, then no matter how many times you fill that bowl, a time will come where the milk will deplete and diminish. And no matter how small and minute that hole is, a time will come where the milk will finish. Take this in our concept with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are working hard, we are carrying out ibadat, we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are praying our fara'id, we are praying our sunan and wajibat, and we are fasting. And we are trying to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we are causing these holes of disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we're trying to embed within our hearts, it's leaving. It will not stay. The same way the milk will not stay in that utensil. It will slowly and slowly go away. When these holes of disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will slowly and slowly and slowly diminish. This is why Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi alayh, pious individual, great individual of the past, he used to say, لا يصيب العبد حقيقة الإيمان حتى يجعل بينه وبين الحرام حاجزا. That an individual and the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can never truly attain the haqiqat of iman, the reality of iman, حتى يجعل بينه وبين الحرام حاجزا, until he doesn't bring a barrier and until he doesn't set a barrier between him and the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed to be haram, until he doesn't bring a barrier between him and the vices and the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can never attain the haqiqat and the reality of iman. And he goes one step further, and what does he say? وَحَتَّى يَدَعَ الْإِثْمَ وَمَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. Until he doesn't leave the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until he doesn't distance himself from the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَمَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. Those actions which are similar to haram, which are mushabih of haram, which are known as doubtful. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, مَا زَالَ التَّقْوَى بِالْمُتَّقِينَ. Taqwa used to remain amongst the muttaqeen and the God-conscious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta taraku al-halala makhafat al-haram. Look at the words of Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayh. Taqwa stayed amongst the muttaqeen until they left halal and permissible out of fear of falling into haram and impermissible. Today, our case, unfortunately, is that we know something is haram, but we try to justify it and make it halal. We try to justify it and make it halal. Doubtful is far. We are falling into haram, knowing it's haram and trying to justify and make it halal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas he has made the boundaries of Sharia and laid it down for us many years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the hadith, Al-halalu bayin, wal-haramu bayin. Halal is clear-cut mentioned. There is no ifs and buts. You know what is halal. It's mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. Wal-haramu bayin, also mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. You will find that what is impermissible, clear-cut. But you have a window in between. You have a line in between. What is that? That is those actions which are doubtful. Those actions which are doubtful. Now, there's two things you can do when a doubtful action comes. Either there's option A, you carry out the doubtful action. Or option B, stay away from doubtful. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say in the hadith? He says that there are doubtful actions, لا يعلمها كثير من الناس. What should you do? فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That individual who abstains from doubtful, not haram, who abstains from doubtful and those things which he doesn't know if it's halal or haram, then اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. He has now safeguarded his deen and he has safeguarded his honor. Not just his deen, he has safeguarded his deen, with that he has safeguarded his honor. اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. And on the contrary, وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ, that individual who falls into doubtful, who is always carrying out doubtful, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the example, كَرَاعٍ يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى. He's like that shepherd who allows his flock and his animals to pasture around the sanctuary. You have an individual, he has animals, and he has a boundary of his plot that the animals can only graze in this plot. But there's a boundary. If he lets his animals go near the boundary, what will happen? Yushik. Then it's very possible an yuwaqi', that they will cross that boundary and go into the neighbor's plot. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us that if you continuously engage in doubtful, continuously engage in those actions which are doubtful, then a time will come, because you're on the border of halal and haram, a time will come where you will cross that border and now you won't be in doubt. Now you will fall into those actions which are haram and impermissible. You will fall into those actions which are haram and impermissible. And we find ourselves, we start off where? It's doubtful, it's doubtful, it's doubtful, it's doubtful. Everyone is doing it, so let me do it. And then where do we end up? Then now we lose total value, and now we even carry out haram, knowing it's haram, and we still don't bat an eye. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, when we look at our aslaf, our pious predecessors, time does not allow me to go into detail. The likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, Umar radiallahu anh, who are the greatest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we look into their lives, then we will find that what taqwa is, what God consciousness is, what the mizaj of the sharia is. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, his slave brings food, he eats it. He doesn't know. After eating, he asks his slave, now where did you get this from? He says that I was a soothsayer in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance before Islam. And it so happened that someone still had to pay me, they didn't give me my payment. And now I received my payment. With that payment, I bought this food and I brought it for you, O Amirul Mu'mineen. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he turns to him and he says, you would have destroyed me, you would have killed me. He takes his fingers, he puts it into his mouth and he forcefully vomits that food out. Why? Why did he go to this extent? The food was doubtful when he ate it. Why did he go to that extent? He had already eaten. He could have said that now I've already eaten, next time I will avoid. No, to show the ummah that how much haram and doubtful has an impact on the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu, inshallah I'll end off with this, in Kitab al-Zuhd, the waqiyah and the incident of Umar radiallahu anhu, I believe I mentioned this before, that in the time of his ruling, when he was a ruler and he was the khalif, then perfume came into the Muslim world and he decided to distribute it towards the Muslims, into the Muslims. So he made an i'lan and he asked that which woman, because there were women at that time that were experts in weighing the perfume, said which woman can help in weighing this and distributing it to the Muslims. So the wife of Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'll do it for free. You don't need to employ anyone, I'll do it for free. Umar radiallahu anhu turns to her and he says that no, by Allah, I will not let you do it. So she was perplexed. So why aren't you letting me, O Amirul Mu'mineen? She said, no, you can't. And the reason is that you will weigh the perfume. You will weigh the perfume. And when it's distributed to all the Muslims, they will receive a share. And then, because you will have some perfume on your hands, you will rub it on your arms. You will rub it on your face. You will rub it on your neck. And I will receive a greater portion than the other Muslims. That's why I will not let you. This was the caution, the cautiousness, the taqwa of our aslaf. Now, it is our duty, in this era, in this time of social media, where it's so easy to log on to YouTube, so easy to log on to Google, and search our deen, that we find influencers, social media influencers, they are engaged in haram and doubtful, under the banner of, don't judge me, and deen is easier, deenu yusru. It is our duty to look at each and every one of these individuals with the lens of the Quran and Hadith, with the lens of the Sharia, that is this the true deen? Is this the true Islam that came to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the Tabi'een and the Tabi Tabi'een? It is our duty to look at each and every one of them through the lens of the Quran and Hadith. And when we do, we will conclude that those that are engaged in haram and doubtful at all times, then they are doing nothing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except lip service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard each and every one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to understand the correct deen, bring taqwa into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the deep and intense love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save each and every one of us from haram and doubtful actions. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.